Today on Real Radio.
The centurion is defining what he believes about Jesus Christ and his mission. You know what he says? Jesus, you represent a kingdom. I represent a kingdom. I have soldiers under me. Jesus, you have disciples under you. I say to one, go, and he goes. Jesus, you say to your disciples, go, and they go. Here's the difference. If I have this authority on a little earthly plane, if there's a protocol on an earthly plane, how much more do you, Jesus, are you connected with heaven? I mean, your kingdom trumps my kingdom in Rome any day.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. We're in a presentation taken from the opening verses of Luke chapter 7. Remember, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, came for his people first. But this is among the first accounts of a Gentile having an encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Faith Has to Say.
Two things I want you to see regarding this man. As we look at faith says we're not worthy, consider this. We're not worthy to have the Lord be part of our lives. That's a fact. He is God, you guys. He's God. He's Spirit. Do you want to know what the greatest miracle ever of all time, it will ever be? The greatest miracle that has ever been done and will ever be. The greatest. It tops them all. The day that God came to earth and allowed himself to be born into this world as a human being. That's the biggest miracle of all. He came. God is not a superhuman. The Bible says God is spirit. The Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light. The Bible says in the Old Testament and in the New, by the way, that we cannot see God in these bodies and live. We've got to be changed. Did you know that? If it's that big of a deal to see the president, can you imagine the changing that must take place before you and I can see God face to face? Can you imagine? We can only imagine. The Bible says we've got to be changed, that this flesh and blood cannot inherit eternity. We've got to be metamorpho, is the word in Greek, metamorphosed. God does the changing, and that's going to happen. And it will happen, because even though you and I are unworthy of the presence of God and having God be a part of our lives, the truth is God wants us. He wants us to be involved. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. Look, notice what he says in verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him saying, Lord, listen to his words. Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. What's healthy about this? This man has a true view of himself. Church, listen, this is vital. I know, as I mentioned a moment ago, this is not Oprah and this is not Dr. Phil. This is better. When you understand that God loves you, that Jesus went to the cross, that's how valuable you are. He died for you and I. And then God says, okay, you know what? You're ready for heaven. I've got you saved. You're ready to go. In the meantime, I want you to reach out and bless other people and show them the way. From that moment on, if we walk around focused on ourselves all the time, that's all we think about. Me, myself, and I. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going? Everywhere I go, there I am. It's all about me. If that's the way we're living, listen up. I know this isn't comfortable to modern psychology, but this will never make you happy. You will never be complete. You will never be happy, ever. There is something that God does supernatural. You can criticize what this biblical truth is all day long. But until you die to what the Bible says yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. Do you know there's nothing more wonderful than to do that? And the world says, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. That's crazy. And it is crazy to them. Until they trust the Lord. They put faith in God. And you do it. So, the unworthiness is an amazing thing. The centurion says, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. And the centurion's view of himself. This is something that God can work with. And God speaks to my heart and he speaks to your heart. And God challenges me. The verse that came to my mind when I was putting this meditation, this thought, this message together is in Galatians 2:16 when the scripture says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. I want to ask you something right now, and this is the eternal question. If you die today, would you go to heaven? If you don't know, then you're not. Secondly, how are you going to get in? If your question or your response to the question is anything other than the righteousness of Christ, if it's something like I've attended church all my life, I have voted in every election, I helped grandma across the street. I was an Eagle Scout. Wrong answer. Well, how can you be so sure about that? The Bible says so. The Bible says that the Word of God cuts between the thought and the intent of our very heart. It knows. God knows. And so the question is, Jesus, honestly, I can't even fathom inviting you into my house. This is how that man feels. This is how that centurion feels. Before we go to the second consideration, I want you to keep this in mind. And I know we have a team that's heading to Russia as we speak. And it reminds me of what we're teaching on here right now and something that happened in Russia a long time ago. I was sitting at a table with a man who said, I don't need God. I mean, God's wonderful, he said. God's great. And it's not, I have a total, absolute appreciation. But I'm not that big of a sinner. I mean, I'm not that big of a sinner. And what, it's good for you, Jack. It's good for some family members of mine. That's just great. But he was a very nice, I love this guy still. And right then in that instant, we had water. You know, it's very difficult to get water that won't hurt you in St. Petersburg. Even the native people of St. Petersburg can't drink tap water. It's too polluted. You have to drink bottled water. And I held up this glass and I said, would you drink this water right now? Yes, it's bottled water. Would you drink this water if I put 10 drops of cyanide in it? Would you drink it? No, I wouldn't drink it. Yeah, but it's clear. You can't see it in there. It's clear. Wouldn't you drink it? No. Well, what if I put 5 drops of water in there? I mean, cyanide droplets in that water. Would you drink it? No. Why? It'd kill me. What if I put 1 drop of cyanide in the water? It's clear. Just 1 drop. Would you drink it? No, it'd still kill me. And I said, you know, you look down the street and you say, that guy's got 10 sins in his life. And you say you have 1 sin in your life. The glass is polluted. Nonetheless, it will kill you. Have you ever looked at water under a microscope? I warn you, don't do it. Oh, look at this mountain stream water. You look at that water in the microscope and there's monsters living in there. There's eels and dinosaurs. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff swimming in there. Freak you out. Looks pretty clear. It's not pure. Jesus is pure. And this man understands that in a very healthy way. And he's being liberated by what he understands. Look at number 2 under this point, verse 7. Faith says we're not worthy enough to be invited into the presence of God. He says, verse 7, therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. Listen to what he says. Instead of him throwing down his sword and ripping his helmet off his head and crying and kicking up the dust, what does he say? He said, Jesus, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Is this not awesome? This is incredible faith. Just say the word. The Bible tells us, by the way, in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, that the Gentiles shall come to the light of the Lord. That's exactly what's happening to this man. Just say the word, Jesus. His word, Jesus, it's firm. His word, the word of Jesus, you can believe. What does Jesus say? What is Jesus saying to you? What does the Bible say to you? You can believe that. True biblical faith is literally being announced in this man's life. Also, thirdly, under this point, and then we'll move on, faith says we're not worthy enough to have things in our lives changed for us. Faith says, I'm not worthy to have my life be changed by God. But listen, it doesn't give up there. This man says, I'm not worthy for you to come, but just say the word. And I want to make this personal. Faith says, God, I am not worthy of your goodness and of your graces. I'm not worthy to have my life changed, but I know you change lives. So, Lord, will you change my life? Church, are you listening right now? Can you even think that in your mind right now? Can you think that? Can you just think, Lord, I am not worthy of your greatness in my life. I'm not worthy, Lord, to have you change my life. I ruined it. I guess I'm responsible. This is true, but we can't fix it. We don't have the power. Can we approach the Lord like the centurion and say, Lord, I'm not worthy to have my life changed, but you just say the word. You say, Jack, I'm not even willing to pray that prayer or to say that. Can you just say it and ask him to make you willing to pray that or to believe that? Whatever your thing is, can you imagine there's enough people in this room right now, it would take days to hear your story. And the answer's the same. Isn't it bizarre? The answer's the same from this side to that side. Jesus, I need you to speak the word, and the situation will be healed. Marriage, kids, job, employment, pain, health, suffering. Jesus, where else are you going to go with that? Down to Joe's Bar and Grill? Take your troubles down, you know, belly up to the bar. What's the matter there, partner? Oh, I got troubles. Here, drink this. Now you really got troubles. You got the same trouble when you wake up, but now your head hurts. Not with Jesus. This centurion is defining what he believes about Jesus Christ and his mission. You know what he says? Allow me to put it to you this way. Look at verse 8. For I also, you know what he's saying? Jesus, you and I have this in common. Follow along with me. I am a man. Jesus, you represent a kingdom. I represent a kingdom. I've been placed under authority. Jesus, you have authority. I have soldiers under me. Jesus, you have disciples under you. I say to one, go, and he goes. Jesus, you say to your disciples, go, and they go. And to another one, come, and they come. And Jesus, you said to your disciples, come and follow me. I understand that. I have servants, and I say, do this, and they do it, or do that, and they do it. And Jesus, you have servants. Here's the difference. If I have this authority on a little earthly plane, if there's a protocol on an earthly plane, how much more do you, Jesus, are you connected with heaven? I mean, your kingdom trumps my kingdom in Rome any day. I've got all this stuff on with a broom helmet stuck on my head with a spear. You're standing here with sandals and a robe. You can snap your fingers and there's a billion angels that can come to you. You completely, Jesus, in the spiritual realm outrank me. In the earthly realm, I outrank you. I'm a centurion. And you're a rabbi. We're the occupier. We control you. But I understand. I've seen the truth. The truth is Jesus. You're in control. I have the power of Rome. It's nothing compared to the power you have. I represent the emperor. He's going to die someday. You represent your Father in heaven. Could this man have already heard by now that which was recorded in John's gospel? Could it have been rumored about that it was said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever Italian pizza-eating centurions, that if they would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life"? Wow. Yeah, your life and my life can be changed. And isn't it a beautiful thing before we leave this point that your life and my life has been changed by God? Have we forgotten? How can we? Point number three, and we'll end with this. What faith has to say? Faith says anything is possible with God. Look at verse 9. Anything is possible with God. Verse 9, we learn this. Possible because the Lord takes notice. I love this. When Jesus heard, circle the word heard, these things, he, circle the word, marveled at him, and circle this word, turned around, and circle this word, said. This is absolutely amazing. There's a lot going on right here. The word in the Greek, I'm going to give you four definitions of the original language used. Are you ready? Are you guys ready? Are you guys sleepy?
No.
You're sleepy, aren't you? All right, we're almost done. Go back to bed. Jesus heard. The word is familiar to any parent. The word is aku. It means this: for a parent to give an audience of the ear, to bend the ear toward their child, not someone else's child. With all due respect, not your kid, my kid. Mom, when your baby cries, you hear your baby's cry beyond any other baby crying. That's the way God made you. How in the world can a penguin, you ever see that movie, The Penguin Thing? How can a million penguins stand in there and the one little penguin goes, "Ee!" And the mom who's a mile away goes, "I'm coming, baby, I'm coming, I'm coming! Wait for me, I'm on my way!" How does that happen? It's a God thing. Jesus is walking along, and he hears, "Just say the word and my servant will be healed." Boop. That's what the word means. Isn't that awesome? Number two, hang on to your seats. He marveled. The word marveled means, and it's thumazo, it means to be struck with wonder. How do you ever impress God? How can you impress God? He's got angels. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty. He's got angels there. They're singing. I mean, what do you give him? You give him this. You believe in him. How can you bless the eternal God of heaven and earth? Believe in him. He absolutely, well, listen, I'll read it to you. He's struck with wonder. He's grasped by admiration. That's what the word means. He's brought to the point of wonderment. By the way, there's only one other place in the New Testament where this word is found. When Jesus was trying to do miracles in Nazareth, and they wouldn't believe in him, the Bible says Jesus wondered at their unbelief. He was completely shocked that they could be that blind. Turning, he turns. The word means he spun around on his heels. Isn't that wild? You get a picture into what happened literally. Jesus is walking along, and he hears that word. Just say the word. He's listening. And my servant will be healed. Seized by wonder. And then he turns on his heels. He's captured. Faith captures the heart of God. And Jesus says, he speaks. The word means to call or to invite alongside. You see, whatever is going on in your life, here's the key. Call out to him in faith. He will completely listen and turn. He'll marvel and listen. He's promised. This is the Bible. He will absolutely notice Faith says anything is possible because the Lord will take notice. Secondly, possible because it's what the Lord is looking for. He says in verse 9, I've not found such great faith. No, not even in Israel. Man, I got a Gentile believing in me like my own people should. The Bible says in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 10, you could read that whole first 10 verses is awesome, but you know the story, the announcement. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know that. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 10, it says that he came, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. And it's a reference to the Jewish people. He came to his own people and they did not receive him. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is sitting there thinking, man, this Italian got it. Thirdly, finally, we end with this. Faith says anything is possible with God because it's the Lord who gets the glory. Verse 10 says, and we conclude, and those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. It's amazing. Well, who healed who and how did all that happen? Did the faith of the centurion heal the sick guy, his servant? Nope. Some people might want you to believe that, but that's not what happened. Jesus saw this faith. Watch. He saw this faith in this man who was approaching Jesus and said, I'm completely humbled. Yes, don't look at my clothes. I know it speaks about the power of the Roman Empire. Ha! You are God. And I have no power to heal anybody. I can't even comfort my servant whom I love. You, on the other hand, if you just say the word, he'll be made whole. And in that humility and in that firm faith in Christ, this man leaves us from this portion as a great example of how you and I need to be. Believing in the greatness of God and seeing ourselves lost sinners who are saved by the grace of God, who now no longer are held bondage by the power of our old lives. For the Bible says that if we believe in Christ Jesus, behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. We become new creations. And no longer does the old centurion have any power. That we now follow him who is well able to take us from death to life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called What Faith Has to Say, a look at the opening verses of Luke chapter 7. It's part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us again. Now, we also want to remind you of a couple of other outreaches here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. The first, Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is our television program, which can be seen anytime by online means, including hischannel.com. Hischannel.com also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. The current series is called The Disciplines of Life. Now remember that to be a disciple of Jesus means to be disciplined by him. Well, that's what the series is about, based on God's written word. The Disciplines of Life on Wednesday evenings on hischannel.com. We have a link at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to contribute to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.